The phrase in that song that really caught our eyes when we first heard it was that last phrase, lest life be wasted. And it'd be a really sad thing to stand before Christ and not hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and to realize that we've wasted our lives. And kind of our theme in our ministry is next steps. And I shared with the men this morning about taking a next step. And each of us has a next step to take. And tonight I want to look at a message called The Calls of God. Before I get into the message, my wife reminded me to have you sign up for our email prayer letter list. And we send that out monthly. And we'd love to keep you informed of our ministry. And also take a prayer card. We have lots of them. So I challenge you to put it in your Bible where you read every day. And when you open it up, pray for the Daytons. Okay? Let's open in prayer tonight. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we have the opportunity and the freedom to be here tonight to worship before you, to sing songs about your glorious Son's name. Lord, help us to never forget what he has done for us in dying on the cross so that we can have freedom from sin. We can have power over sin. We can have victory in this life. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for our time. Now I pray that you would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think of God's call on our life, I can turn myself back on. And we think of different calls in Scripture. You know, we could spend a whole series, probably a year long, of talking about how God has called people in Scripture to do different things. The first call I want to look at is basically a general call to all mankind. 2 Peter 3:9 says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Pastor prayed that we would be a witness here in Elko. And that is what God wants. God wants no man to perish. God wants everybody to come to repentance. John 6:44 says that no man can come to Christ except the Father draw him. And we see that God is still calling people to himself. We still see people being saved. We see people being baptized. We see that people are joining our churches. And that is a wonderful thing. And if we have accepted that call, if we've received Christ as our Savior, then we should have a message to a lost and dying world. We should be willing to take that message and listen to that call that God has for us to go and share the good news of salvation. So that's just one call that I've looked at, that call to all mankind. I want to look at a couple of specific calls tonight. And if you would, turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, we're talking about the story of Abram. And a question that I want to ask, we know the story of Abram and Abraham. And a question that I want to start with is, why do you think God picked Abram? What was it about Abram that God chose him? And as we kind of look at this study tonight, I want you to kind of formulate an answer in your mind to that question. Why did God pick Abram? Chapter 12, Genesis 12, let's look at verse 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." There's a parallel story in Acts chapter 7. During Stephen's message, Stephen references this story. And he said that it was the God of glory that had appeared unto Abram and gave him that first command, "Get thee out of thy country." It was the God of glory that appeared to him. It wasn't a dream, it wasn't a vision, but it was God himself that went to Abram and said, "It's time to get you out of your country." Let's talk about this country.
And really, there are two different calls to Abram and to Abraham here. We see one where he went to Abram when he was in Ur of the Chaldees. And then the other was in the land of Haran. Let's just kind of talk about this land of Ur. Let me kind of give you a picture, a map. And you could probably find a lot better one in the back of your Bible. All right. But here we've got the Mediterranean Sea. We've got the nation of Israel. And then we've got the Jordan River coming down. Okay, and then this whole vast expanse where Israel wandered in the wilderness. And then over here we've got the Tigris River and Euphrates River kind of coming down. And at the bottom of those rivers is the land of Ur. And I was reading on this, and it was a very prosperous place. It was a very modern place. They found some really unique things there when they excavated that. And so in the time of Abraham, it would probably have been a very modern city for that time. And God said, "Get thee out of thy country." Now, why do we think God would have come to Abram and said that to him? Well, we find in Scripture that Ur had become a very idolatrous nation. And even later on, we see in Joshua chapter 24 that Terah, Abram's father, worshipped other gods. So we see that even in the family of Abram, this family that God used in a tremendous way, there was idolatry. The world was infiltrating their family. The culture was coming in and taking over. And unfortunately, we see that today in our homes and our churches, where the culture of this world is coming in and often influencing our lives and changing us not to serve God faithfully. So the call was to get them out of the country. Get thee out of this country. This is where they had grown up. Abram was about 70 years old at this time. So he was well established. He had a wife. He had relatives there. His family was there. But because it was an idolatrous nation, we see that God was pulling them out. God was protecting them and getting them out of that nation. Verse 1, we see the second part of this call. He said, "Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred." Now, at this first call, the previous verses in chapter 11, we see that Abram and his family, his brother and his dad and the family went all the way up to Haran. And that was north. They just kind of followed the river way up above Israel to the little town of Haran. And that's where this story in chapter 12 is taking place. But we see that God is telling him to get away from thy kindred and from thy father's house. You know, even in our ministry, this morning we shared that God took us to Idaho. And when we knew that call to go to Idaho, we sensed kind of a pulling back almost of our family in a way that they said, "Dave, are you sure this is the right thing to do? I just don't see it. It doesn't make sense. Why are you doing this? Why are you leaving a job? Why are you leaving a career? Why are you leaving family where you're at to go to the Intermountain West? Why are you doing that?" And our answer was, we just know it's what God wants us to do. But sometimes family can hinder you from doing what God wants. Thankfully, this time, we've had a lot of family support for our ministry. And we're very pleased to have that with our family this time in going to Peru. But we see that sometimes family can be a source of discouragement to do God's will. The third part of this call to Abram, it says, "Go unto a land that I will show thee." And just this morning, I was talking with a couple gentlemen afterwards. And sometimes our lives are like Abram's life here. We know God wants us to do something different. We understand that God is stirring us up and saying, "I'm ready for your next step." But just like Abram, we have no clear direction and we have no clear destination. God just said, "Go. Just go. Go to a land that I will show thee." And sometimes when we step out in faith and we say, "Lord, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do," we've got to be willing to step out without a clear direction and out without a clear destination, because we don't know what God is having for us. We can't really pick and choose. It's not multiple choice where God says, "Okay, I'll give you these four options. You pick one and you can go there." When God wants us to be willing to do whatever, we have to say, "Here, my Lord, send me." Wherever you want us to go, we're open to that. And sometimes that's a challenge. And that was a challenge for us to say, "Lord, if you want us to go on deputation with six kids in a camper, we're willing to do that." That was the hardest thing. It took a couple of months for us to really get over that hump, to say, "Lord, we're willing to do that." But that's what God wanted us to do, be willing to do that. Now, if we have no clear direction and no clear destination, I want to look at two things that requires. And it required this for Abram too. It requires a complete trust in God. And it requires a complete dependence on God. And this really is a common theme through the Christian life. If we are going to launch out and do God's will for our lives, we have to completely trust God. We have to completely depend upon God. I was sharing this with a gentleman this morning, and I gave him these two things. We have to completely trust, because sometimes we don't know where God is taking us. And we have to completely trust that what God is doing is good, and that God is always good. And we have to completely depend on Him for financial. We have to completely depend on Him for our health, even as Nathan mentioned this morning. Our health comes from God. So these two things, if we don't have a direction or a destination, and really in all aspects of our Christian life, we have to completely trust God and completely depend upon God. So they moved. They moved from Ur of the Chaldees. The whole family moved. They packed up and went to Haran. And then God came to them again, and out of His mercy, and said to Abram, "I know you moved once, but you didn't quite make it far enough. All right, you went to the land of Haran, but that's not the land of promise. I want you to go a little bit farther. I want you to go to the land of promise." And what do we know about the land of promise? There'll be greater blessings in the land of promise. We are never safer than we are in God's perfect will. And that's a saying that we often hear, but it's so true. We can have complete confidence that as we're traveling the country, that we are safe in God's will. Now, with this command and call of God, God gave Abraham a great promise. Let's look down at verse 2. And this is the promise that God gives to Abraham. This is not a promise to all of us, but this was His promise. Verse 2, it says, "I will make of thee a great nation." And for the sake of time, let's just look at a couple of things here. All right, first, he had to have a child, all right, to be a great nation. The second promise, "I will bless thee." And this could be a general promise. God blesses all of us if we're serving Him, if we're living for Him. If we are in Proverbs, there's a common theme of being just, being righteous, and being upright, and God will bless you. And that's even true in our lives today. The third part of the promise here is that God said, "I will make thy name great." So even though he was leaving the sphere of influence he had in Ur and in Haran, God was still going to make his name great. Now that didn't always mean that he was going to, you know, be well known or have a position in the government or whatever it might be, but we know that his name is written in Scripture. His name is great. The fourth thing we see in this promise is, "Thou shalt be a blessing." Wherever he was going to go, he would be a blessing to other people. This is a challenge to us. You know, as we go around and we see people, if we're in our job, if we're at the store, are we a blessing to other people? I tend to think of lines at Walmart. And, you know, when you get to the cashier after waiting for 20 minutes in line, are we a blessing to the cashier? And that can be a challenge sometimes. But God wants us to be a blessing to other people. The fifth part of this promise, God says, "God will bless them that bless him and curse him that curses him." And to me, this is just an encouragement that God was on his side. And if God is on our side, who can be against us? The last part of this promise is the greatest of all, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." And we're here tonight because of that promise. We're here tonight because through Abram, Christ came to redeem the lost. And when Christ came to redeem the lost, he sent his disciples out to witness to the world. And as a result, we have the gospel because of this promise. You know, God didn't need Abram, but God wanted to use Abram. We see Abram's obedience in verse 4. He packed up his stuff. He departed. He left as the Lord had spoken to him. Now, let's look. I'm going to skip ahead a little bit for time's sake. Let's take a little survey through the next several chapters to kind of look at the dependence Abram had on his God. Look down at verse 7. The Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And look what Abram did. He built an altar unto the Lord who had appeared unto him. Why would they build an altar? Why did people build an altar back then? It was for worship. It was for prayer. It was to show his dependence upon his God. In the next verse, in verse 8, at the end of that verse, he said, there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. Again, showing his complete dependence upon God. Now we realize from the whole story of Abram that he wasn't a perfect man. He made mistakes. He did things that he shouldn't have done, just like we do. But his pattern of living was to show complete dependence upon his God. Chapter 13, verse 4. He went back to the altar that he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Again, showing dependence. Chapter 13, verse 18. This is when Lot had taken the best of the land. And, you know, Abram could have been pretty upset. He could have been bitter inside, even though he told Lot, take what you want. But Lot took the best. And then in verse 18, what did Abram do? He removed his tent and at the end builded there an altar unto the Lord. He again showed complete dependence upon his God. Whatever God was going to give him was going to be best. Over in chapter 15, we see the Lord appearing to Abram again. And God said, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What a promise that was, that I am your shield. You know, God is our shield today. He tells us that. He is our shield, and we can trust him. In chapter 15, verse 6, we see Abram's response. He believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. At the beginning, I asked the question, why did God pick Abram? What was it about Abram that made him special? What was it about Abram that made him to be a father of many nations? And I believe this is why God picked Abram for this task, these last few verses that we've looked at. He had a heart that was set towards God. He had a heart that was seeking God. He had a heart that wanted to do right. He had a willing heart to please the Lord. And I believe at this point in his life, he is showing us that he was completely dependent upon his God. Back in South Carolina, our pastor often asks us this question. Does God's word have complete functional control in your life? When you read the Bible, when you hear preaching, does God's word control us? Or do we just read it kind of as on our checklist because we know we're supposed to? See, if God's word has complete functional control in our lives, then we are going to have that complete dependence on God, and we're going to have complete trust in God. And I just challenge you, as you read the Bible, as you read Scripture, allow God's word to have complete functional control in your life. Turn over to chapter 17. Abram's now 99 years old. He still had no child, even though that promise was still there. What did the Lord say in verse 1? The Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Now we're not sure why God came back to Abram and said, walk before me and be thou perfect. You know, it could have been, as Pastor said, that he had gotten discouraged. Maybe he was struggling to figure out God's will. God, you promised me this 24 years ago, and yet I have no child. What are you doing, Lord? What are you doing in our family? You moved us away from what we had, and I still have no child after 24 years. And God is saying, walk before me and be thou perfect, or be upright before me. What does Abram do in verse 3? Again, showing his dependence, he fell on his face and God talked with him. And we could continue reading that. But he fell on his face out of an act of worship, out of reverence to God. Maybe he was overwhelmed. And sometimes when we hear God's call in our lives, we hear what God is doing, it can overwhelm us. We could be completely just overwhelmed by what God is doing. And we see in a verse, a couple of verses later, that God gave him a reminder and changed his name to Abraham, which means a father of many nations. God gave him this reminder to be an encouragement to him that you can completely depend on me and you can completely trust what I am doing. So we see this call to Abram. Now, what is God's call to us? There's several passages that we could look at. I want to just read a couple here. Mark chapter 10, Jesus answered, and this is verse 29, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first." You know, when we stand for Christ, there might be persecutions. I was just reading the other day about how many thousands of Christians are murdered because of their faith in Christ. And we are so thankful that we can worship freely here in America. But persecution is coming, and we're seeing that more and more in our world that we live in. You know, if we serve God, if we give up, and we're willing to give up the stuff that we have here, we have to remember that all of this stuff that we have is going to be burned up anyway. And only the stuff that we do for eternity is going to last. Jesus says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it." We could stop there in that passage. And there's a great challenge to us to every day live for God, to sacrifice ourselves on the altar before God. But it doesn't stop there. In verse 25, it goes on to say, "For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." We don't want to be ashamed of God. We don't want our life to be wasted. So my challenge is to ask this question. Are you willing to forsake those things that God wants you to forsake? You know, it might be that God wants you to leave behind your country and your family and your father's house to go to a new land that he'll show you. God is still calling missionaries to serve him around the world. Maybe God is pricking your heart to surrender, to go into missions. You know, it could be that God is just challenging you to serve here in this local church. You know, it might be that God is challenging you to leave your comfort zone and just go around the corner to your neighbor and share God and his goodness with your neighbor. But whatever God's call is for you, are you willing to take that next step that God has planned for you? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you challenge each of us as we read your word. Lord, you have a next step plan for each of us here tonight. And I pray that you would help us to take that next step, whether it be to pass out a gospel tract, to be a witness, to have a godly testimony, to encourage somebody else. Lord, to serve here in this local church. But whatever it might be, I pray that you would work in our hearts tonight. Father, we pray that you would use us. Help us not to waste our lives. In Jesus' name.